The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, November 20th, 2016, and is sponsored by Dr. George and Joan Wynn.
Good morning. And welcome to worship at Holy Trinity.
Let us prepare for worship with the order for confession and forgiveness. Please stand.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. We take a moment for reflection. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we sing together. Let us pray together. O God, our true life to serve you is freedom, and to know you is an unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make us the world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you, Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Bible reading is from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Here ends the reading. The second lesson is from Colossians, the first chapter. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Here ends the reading.
Thank you.
Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. Well, guess what? I have a gift for you today. Why do you get gifts? Why? Why do you get gifts? Why do you get gifts? Just for fun, sometimes, Isabel. Wait. So sometimes God gives us love, right? That's a gift. What else? Okay. So it's a present, and you get a gift for your birthday, right? Sometimes you get gifts for Christmas. Sometimes, always, right? Sometimes you get gifts like when you do something well, like maybe you did something at home that made your parents really happy, so they give you a surprise. Right? Sometimes you do your chores and you get a gift. They maybe give you a surprise sometimes, maybe. So gifts are maybe things sometimes you do something for, or sometimes you just are. Today we hear about Jesus. When he died on the cross, there were two other people beside him, and they were criminals. They were bad people. And Jesus told them that if God offers you his love, that they will be part of God's kingdom, part of God's family. And one of them believed Jesus, and the other didn't believe Jesus. But it was a gift given freely. So do you think criminals deserve a gift?
No.
No, they've done bad things, right? So why would they deserve? Yeah, they do get gifts. So sometimes what God does is that he flips things around, and you don't have to deserve God's love at all. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be special. You don't have to, like if I said, "All right, Isaiah, to get your gift, you have to do jumping jacks." And no one else has to do that. I knew he would do it. Thank you, Isaiah. But no one else has to do it. Would that be fair? Yeah. If you're nice, see, you're a nice person, right? But sometimes it's not fair. Well, God's gift of love, you don't have to do anything for it. God's love is free, just like Isaiah said. And Isabel, God's love is free, and you don't have to do anything. So what I have for you guys today is it's a prayer rock that has a cross on it to help you remember that God is with you all the time, right? So some of you are a little, so you might need to give it to your parents, and they'll hold on to it for you. But you can put it anywhere, like maybe in your bedroom or in your bathroom, so you can see it every day and remember that God is with you, okay? Well, then you have two. All right, why don't you line up and we'll start handing out.
Dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Creator and from Jesus Christ, the firstborn of creation. Amen. I must confess to spending some extended time on the couch for the very important purpose of watching football. Yes, okay, that too. TV binge watching. Probably going to be a little bit more of that moving into the cold weather season. My wife Nancy and I are currently watching a show called The Crown on Netflix about the reign of Queen Elizabeth II, who is now into her 90s. It's historical. It's fun. I started to think of all the series that have to do with royalty of some kind, right? I haven't watched them all, but think about it. The Tudors, Game of Thrones, the Royals, Downton Abbey kind of royalty. The Vikings, Caesar, Camelot, Merlin, Pillars of the Earth, Six Wives of Henry VIII, the White Queen, and Rain, just to name a few. We could all name a bunch more for sure. So it's interesting, isn't it, how a people, us Americans, who were very intentional about rejecting the British monarchy in favor of a republic, a representative democracy, we sure continue to hold an infatuation with royalty, at least when it comes to our entertainment. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to forget, but it seems like it just keeps coming back into my head. We just had a big election here in the United States. It's been getting lots of attention all over the world. Imagine that. In spite of some who are worried right now, we didn't just elect a king. We elected a president. And there's a difference, of course. People are free to say whatever they want about the president of the United States, and that has always been the case, and we can think of lots of examples of that. But if you resist a king, especially a medieval king or a first century king, you may end up dead. If you resist a president, well, that's just part of a very messy democracy, and that's something that we're all very much familiar with. In first century Jerusalem, where this story of Jesus' death takes place, there was no democracy whatsoever. In fact, the seedbed of democracy, which of course is in Greece, was long gone and far away from first century Palestine. The people were ruled by an occupation force of Caesar's Roman Empire. In this particular time and place, the image of king would not have been a positive one for most Jewish people. The king or emperor, in this case, and his cronies would have had all the power. So to call Jesus the king of the Jews was really a mockery. Pure and simple, that's what the crown of thorns was all about, to mock him. He wasn't a king, so we'll pretend he's a king in a make-believe, cruel, mocking sort of way. Because there was no such thing as a king of the Jews. And they weren't thinking of King Herod, by the way, who was nothing but a traitor, a pawn to the Romans, used to keep the Jewish people in line. They would not have considered him their king. There were also, of course, long since gone as well, the historical kings of Israel. Before Saul and then David were appointed the first and second kings of Israel, many questioned having a king at all, an earthly king at all, because, of course, Yahweh, God, alone was king. The one who protested the most for this was the one, Samuel, who ended up having to choose the first king, Saul. And he was the one to say, wait a minute, we can't have a king. And then, of course, we know that even in Israel, there were good kings and bad kings. But there was always hope amongst the Jewish people that a king like David would someday be anointed. The word Messiah, or the word Christ, literally means anointed one. So there was, and continues to be within Judaism, that one would come someday to be this one. So in that first century, some were able to remember and still have hope in such a time. And of course, some even wondered if Jesus could be the one, if Jesus could be the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. But then there was the cross. And Jesus on the cross is the furthest thing from a king that we can imagine. And yet, this is where we end up today. Jesus is a king, but a king unlike any other king, ruler, strongman, or dictator. A crucified king. The kingship of Jesus can only be born out of suffering. That is a tenet of our Christian faith. Without it, there is no legitimacy. The cross is what it is and speaks a truth about where God is, as well as God's Son. God, represented by this King, Jesus, is in the midst of suffering. His own suffering and the suffering of the world. And not just then, but always. And led by God's Spirit and followed by God's people, that's where God continues to go, into places of grief and suffering, to be fully aligned, fully present. There are a number of striking and audacious aspects to the kingship of Jesus that jump out of this text from Luke's gospel. First is the very fact that the reign of a king would end, much less in this case, begin with a humiliating crucifixion. That is a depiction of weakness, not strength. And it is not the path of any king. But then, Jesus has the audacity, while on the cross, to ask the Father to forgive the very ones who are carrying out his execution. Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They don't know, because they are caught up in something much bigger. They are caught up in empire. And then finally, Jesus, in his weakest moment, does something powerful. Something Christ the King-like. He forgives the criminal at his side and promises to take him into paradise. It is astounding, as the children heard from Sonia during the children's message this morning. Jesus the Christ forgives the undeserving. In his weakest moment, he takes a powerful act. This story ought to remind us that there is a kingship or rule that transcends every form of domination or abuse or illegitimacy imaginable. And in our world, of course, there are many. And what this means for us and for the world is that the reign of Christ is happening most profoundly when God's people, when we hear the message of hope and then respond by loving and serving those in need. In our daily lives, and perhaps with extraordinary measures as well. It may be advocating on behalf of those who are on the margins, for whom charity will not be enough. It may be visiting the homebound, simply a neighbor perhaps, or hosting a Thanksgiving dinner as a congregation among strangers who could become friends. It may be volunteering with Doctors Without Borders, or Young Adults in Global Mission, or some other organization that walks with those who are vulnerable. Jesus, Christ the King, has come down from his throne, which is the cross. He is raised from the dead, and by his Spirit continues to be present and alive among us, and continues to attend to the world's need. Alongside of us who seek to follow. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us join together in confessing the faith of the church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together with confidence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.